my little sister Jo and I, as soon as we knew that Mom and our Aunt Jackie, it was her older sister, Aunt Jackie, were making molasses cookies. I love molasses cookies. You can almost get anything out of me that you want if you give me molasses cookies. Yeah. And I lie. Anyway, so I really like molasses cookies. And so here'd be Mom and Aunt Jackie putting these molasses cookies, coming out of the oven, and they'd be putting them up on the wax paper to cool, for those of us that remember wax paper. Putting on the wax paper to cool, well, Joe and I would be on the other side of the counter with these little hands, these pink, dirty hands, going up and over, feeling for the cookies, knowing full good and well that Mom and Aunt Jackie are on the other side going, how many cookies do you guys want? And there was a wonderful fragrance. I loved molasses cookies. Well, I like a lot of cookies, but those are my favorite. However, that may be a good aroma. The aroma that made me gag and want to run away to another country, another world, was when Mom would be doing liver and onions for Dad. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I don't like liver. I don't like the way it cooks. I don't like the texture of it. I just can't stand the sight of it. And here'd be Mom going, do you want a slice? No, no, I don't want any of that stuff. You know, I'd rather slit my wrist. But those are the kind of aromas that I don't like. But generally, I like cookies, cake, pies, apple pie, cobble. Anyway, I like a lot of things, but they're good aromas. Now, think back to your own house. Raquel and I like scented candles. We like to go to Bath and Body Works and get those little things, you know, you plug into the outlets. You got the little oil hanging off of them, you know, they heat up, the scent goes throughout the house. We like that. This one is Better Homes and Garden Fresh Orchard Apples. I like the aroma. It's calming, it's relaxing. It turns me from a Tasmanian devil into a much calmer, happy little bunny rabbit kind of person. So I like these sort of things. Those of you that remember the 60s, few of us. Remember when incense came out? Oh, yeah. So here's some aromas that I'm going to give you. No, we're not going to burn them. All right, so the frankincense is the green. The myrrh, wow. The frankincense is green. The myrrh is this more reddish-brown stuff. And so I'm going to pass some of these out, take a good deep whiff, and if all of a sudden you start singing Inagata Da Vida by Iron Butterfly or something like that, I'll go, Magic Carpet Ride by Steppenwolf. I know that you have been, you've been transported into another realm. Okay, so the green is the frankincense, and the brownish here is the myrrh. Go ahead and pass that around. I can see you're a flower child in the making. Yep. So sniff them and pass them around. Don't inhale them. So there's something about aromas. Now, in this bottle right here, I got this from Bethlehem. No, I did not drive there. But this bottle, I want you to be careful with because it could spill a little bit on you. But this is nard. And this is what Mary put on Jesus' feet. Not this particular bottle, but she put this on Jesus' feet as part of the preparation for his death and burial that was eventually going to happen. There you go, Jesse. So take a nice whiff of it. There is something about it that you have frankincense, you have the myrrh, but the nard has got a very interesting smell to it. Not everybody will like it. I can tell right now that Janelle's going, eh, no. But take a nice, are you okay, Janelle?
That's my liver.
Oh, that's your liver, okay. Yeah, I understand. But think about it, the nard in Jesus' time, a vial of it was very, very expensive. Okay? And this stuff, it says that Mary had spent a full year's worth of wages that she had saved up. She had, for whatever reason, she saved it up, and she got a perfumer's bottle of the nard, and she poured that whole thing on Jesus' feet. Now, Judas Iscariot he's freaking out. He's going, we could have taken all that nard that was in that jar and used it to make money on it. But anything kind of, when you take anything out of Judas Iscariot's mouth, you kind of have to go, well, what was your real motive? He was a money guy. And he stole all the money. He stole it out of the purse. I find it very interesting that Jesus entrusted him for the 3 years that he was a disciple, entrusted him with the money purse for the disciples, knowing full good and well he was embezzling the money out of that purse the entire 3 years. So the very thing that was a weakness for him, Jesus gave to him for whatever reason. However, we know what happened to Judas Iscariot, right? What happened to him in the end? He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then when he had realized what he did, now I'm not asking you guys to ever do this, but he went and hung himself because of how distraught he was for, Jay, are you anointing yourself with that nard? Okay. I'm passing it around. Yeah, point it on your head. I mean, it doesn't matter. But now let's go back to Mary. It's quite an interesting exchange. You go to John. Let's go to John, and we'll talk about this. So I'm going to read John 12, 1 through 8 to you. So Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Jesus. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, say, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, 300 denarii, according to the little footnote here in my Bible, 300 denarii is equivalent to 11 months' wages for that time period. That's a lot. That's a lot of money. Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had put them, and as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was in it. He was an embezzler. Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. But you do not always have me. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So Lazarus was a local celebrity, raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. So here he had, being raised from the dead, he was a natural evangelist for the church that didn't quite exist yet. So I find that pretty interesting. In this story, a strong scent. In other words, okay, where's the little bottle at so far? Okay. Thanks. So in this story, a strong scent brings up strong emotions in the people who surround Jesus. And as I saw in some of your faces, when I talked about liver, there was this automatic bodily look on some of your faces. I'm grateful that none of you passed out. Thank you. But none of you also jumped up and said, hey, that makes me want to go have liver and onions today. No, I'm glad you didn't. But when we find him, he is on the move again, and Jesus is on his final route to Jerusalem. And we're talking 6 days before it's time for him to be arrested. We know his story will end with the tragedy and the victory that he's been proclaiming all along. He's known, if not his whole life, his majority of his teenage years and adult life, what was going to happen to him. He knew what his mission was. But first, Jesus stops at the home of some good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We're familiar with them because they're mentioned multiple times in the New Testament. This isn't just a one story, one chapter out of the books of the New Testament. They're mentioned multiple times. And it talks about the different encounters they've had with Jesus. These are siblings, two sisters and a brother. They struggle over work in the kitchen and Lazarus being brought back to Jesus, being brought back to life. There's some, hey, I brought back to life. Because originally, if you remember, the ladies didn't want Lazarus to come back to life because they're going, he's been putrefying for 4 days. He's going to have an odor issue. And it's going to permeate the linen that he is wrapped in. I get it. I get the point of their concern. But Jesus cries out of compassion because Lazarus is his buddy. They never really talk about that, but he is really good friends with Lazarus. And he brings him back. Doesn't matter about the odor. He is brought back to life. So now we know Lazarus is a local celebrity. This time they're at the table again. They seem that these folks ate a lot, always hanging out around a table. But the scent of good food is overcome by the strong sense, the scent of controversy. The controversy being the money that they could have gotten for the perfume, and instead it's wasted, quote unquote, wasted on Jesus' feet. No, not one bit. I wonder what the perfume smelled like. If it's anything like this, now for me, this was a really nice aroma. It got a little, it kind of smells a little bit like a juniper bush to me, or jasmine. I don't know if anybody else noticed what kind of fragrance it might be, but it's not unpleasant. Not everybody likes it, but it's not unpleasant. So here's a question for you. Remember at the beginning of the service, I said, where are you at before God? Think about this while we do our worship. Where are you at before God? How has your week gone this last week? How is your week going to go this week? So here's the question for you. Does sacrifice have a scent? Mary sacrificed herself for Jesus because it wasn't just Jesus and the disciples there. There's all these other people hanging out around in the rooms or outside. A crowd had gathered because Jesus is there and Lazarus is there. And they're watching all this. Would it be human nature to say, what is Mary doing? Why is she wasting that oil? Is she making a fool of herself? Is she kissing up to Jesus, as we might say today? There's all these false reasons and actions and attitudes and emotions. All sorts of things are playing out here. But really, what's going on? Mary is showing where her heart's at with the kingdom of God. She's anointing Christ, who's going to die. She's anointing him, and she's weeping. Kind of like the picture up there. Or go to your bulletin. Go to your bulletin. Look at the picture that's on the front. Look at the picture on the front. Here's a woman with the alabaster jar, and she's dumped all the oil on his feet, preparing him for death, burial, and eventual resurrection. Mary pours out the treasure she has saved and wipes her Savior's feet, and he praises her actions. She does it with an open heart, an honest heart, an honest heart. In the next few days, he will turn around and wash the feet of his disciples before pouring out his life. So here she was, being that example of washing Jesus' feet using very expensive oil for those days. And a few days later, after the communion, he himself is washing the feet of the disciples. Now, in this church, there's hardly a one of you that hasn't been anointed in one way or another with olive oil, right? Okay, so what do I normally use it for? Healing or for blessings? It can be used for a number of things. What we do is I make the sign of the cross on your head, right, on your forehead. What I don't do is pour it over your head. Especially ladies, I don't think you'd appreciate me pouring this over your head. Especially if you spend an hour, doing whatever you do with hair. So, I watch Raquel when she's getting ready in the morning. Boy, she is serious about doing this stuff. And so that's when I leave her alone. So, oil gets used. Oil gets used for healing and anointing the dead for burial. Kings were anointed as a consecration to set them apart for leadership and authority. Your pastors get that too. Mary's anointing carried with it the scent of brokenness and death because of what was going to happen to Jesus. But ironically, the scent of power, because she was preparing him. But after he died, what happened? What happened 3 days later? He arose. He was victorious. Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Mary's anointing carried with it the scent of brokenness and death, but also the scent of power. A king coming into his kingdom. She anointed him. This is the strange paradox of Jesus' act. If he gave himself for us, but at the same time, he's saving us. Anyone who wants to save their life will lose it. But when you lose your life, you save it. Doesn't that sound a little odd? But that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Sacrifice is victory. Loss is gain. Now, let me go back to prayer and fasting. When I shared with you last Sunday how difficult my first day of fasting had been the previous Tuesday, I was counting down. I'm like, okay, I got 2 hours to go for fasting. I've got an hour to go. And as the seconds are ticking off, I'm already grabbing all the fixings to make a sandwich. I'm counting down. But this last Saturday, or this last Tuesday, I had no problem fasting. I had no problem praying because we have to train ourselves. It's just like a race. We have to train ourselves like a new job. You have to train. There's all these things. So for me, it came very easy. Not always going to be that way. Those of you, if you had a chance to fast, fast again Tuesday. Pick a meal. I'm going to skip a meal. Or fast for the whole day. Again, medical conditions get in the way, but fast something, and then pray. God honors that. Sacrifice is victory, loss is a gain. Do you and I dare to wear the same perfume as our Lord? Whether it's olive oil, the nard, doesn't matter. When we are with people, do they catch a hint of the scent of sacrifice on us? Do they see us as standing out and being different from the rest of the world? The New Testament talks about it. Those who are friends of the world, you're full of flesh. Those that are following God, the flesh is put to death. The new man is put on. Are you putting on the new man? Are you killing the flesh by prayer and sacrifice, fasting, things like that? And are you putting on the scent of sacrifice and of following Christ? If you haven't, you will. All right? So do your best this next Tuesday if you can. Pray and fast. If you can't fast, at least pray. Take 5 minutes, take 10 minutes, take 15 minutes and pray. Pick up, as a friend of mine would say, pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible and read. Doesn't matter what you read. Read something that's a favorite section. You know, our two ladies over here, Julie and Katie, that couldn't be here this morning, I have them reading Acts. Instead of reading the Gospels or Leviticus or Numbers or Ezekiel, which is kind of out there, instead of reading one of those, they're reading Acts. I said, here, read something easy. Read something that's fun, interesting, that sort of thing. So here's a history section. So we go over that stuff. They're changing. You're changing. This church is not the same as it was when Raquel and I came here July 1st of 2017. Raquel and I are not the same since we've come. So thank you. Can all God's people say amen?
Amen.
Can all God's people say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can all God's people say, are we done yet?
Yes.
No.